The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Have you ever been looking forward to a holiday only to find yourself being unwell at the start of it? And at a time like this, you've been going flat out to get ready for your holiday, you've given everything you've got, and finally you cross the line from work to holidays, and what happens? You get sick. They now have a word for this. It's called leisure sickness. It's what happens when you've been putting out, and you've been putting out, and you've been putting out, and your mind and your body can only keep giving and giving before something gives. And in that place, you often succumb to leisure sickness. School teachers often find this. They go hard all school term. They finally get to school holidays where they should have a break. And what happens? They become unwell. It's true for many people who have jobs that are stressful or high pressure positions. In the current season, there are two groups of people that are really being affected in terms of employment. There are those who, because of the situation of coronavirus, are out of work. They've lost their positions, and that is really, really stressful. The second group of people are those who are actually having to work even harder, longer hours, greater stress. That's really stressful. And we're hearing people saying, "I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough, Lord." You're not alone. Because at the moment, whether you are unemployed, whether you are in isolation, or whether you are working really long hours, you may feel you've had enough. Well, Elijah had the same thing to say. He said, "I've had enough, Lord." What led him to this point? Well, Elijah was a prophet in the nation of Israel, and he'd seen his nation turning away from God. He saw them putting their faith in other gods like Baal, and government policies were being put in place that made it increasingly difficult for people of faith to be able to express their faith. Sound familiar? Well, in their case, not only that, but the prophets were being persecuted, even murdered. And so, in the midst of all of this, Elijah had gone into hiding for 3 years. For 3 years, he had withdrawn until the Lord said, "It's time. It's time for you to go and confront the prophets of Baal." And so he did. He confronted them in a fiery encounter. And through that, he defeated the prophets of Baal, showing them up as false prophets. He showed the people of Israel the power of God. And then to top it off, at the end of the day, he ran a half marathon. After a day like that, Elijah would have been emotionally and physically exhausted. When you've been going flat out, or when you've been on an emotional high, leisure sickness could be heading your way. And it's pretty hard to have a soft landing. It's like when you come in on a plane during a storm and the landing is just sort of this really rough, jarring. Or sometimes it's a crash landing. Elijah had one of those crash landings. It was precipitated by a queen called Jezebel. She'd sent him a message saying, "I'm going to kill you." He'd actually heard this message before, but you see, he'd been in hiding over these 3 years, and his friends, other colleagues, other prophets had been killed by Jezebel. And so he was familiar with the danger. But what happened is that he's been coming off this emotional high. He's been coming off this place where he's been giving it all, and so suddenly he is more susceptible. He's more reactive than normal. And he yells out, "I've had enough, Lord." When you hit leisure sickness, when you've been going hard and you suddenly stop, you become more reactive. You become more susceptible. I'm sure many of you have had the experience where 10 people say something positive to you. 10 people give you a compliment and one person criticizes you or gives you a negative comment. What do you remember? You remember the negative comment. You remember the criticism. You know, Elijah could have been celebrating the fact that he had just him and God, had been responsible for defeating the 450 prophets of Baal. He should have been celebrating the fact that because of that encounter, the people of Israel were calling out for the one true God once again. But one threat that he had heard previously, completely undid him. He was physically and emotionally tired. He was susceptible, just like some of you are right now. So what did he do? Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. That's how many translations put it, and no doubt it's probably correct. I mean, wouldn't you be afraid if a queen puts a death wish on you? And you know that she's willing to carry it out because you've seen colleagues, fellow prophets, already murdered by her. But there is a second meaning to this statement. In fact, if you look at the original language, the word ran also means went, and life also means soul. And so it's one of these expressions that actually has a double meaning. Yes, Elijah was running for his life, but he also went for his soul. It's a play on words. See, he knew he was running on empty. He knew his life was in danger. He knew he needed God. He knew he needed to hear what God wanted to say to him. And so he went for his soul. He went for a place where his soul would receive the care that was needed. And so where did he go? He actually went 400 kilometres south to Horeb. Horeb, the mountain of God. You've heard of Horeb before. In Exodus chapter 3, when Moses encounters God in the burning bush, it happened at Horeb. In Exodus chapter 17, it's where the people of Israel were thirsty and Moses strikes a rock and water flows and the people are refreshed. You've heard it in Exodus 31, except there Mount Horeb is called its other name, Mount Sinai. It was there again a fiery encounter where Moses meets with the Lord and then the Lord hands two stone tablets with the law written upon it. What was Horeb? It was the mountain of God. It was a place of encounter with God. And so Elijah, in this place of desperation, in this place of emptiness, goes to a place where he knows that he will encounter God. See, there's no doubt that Elijah was running in fear. He was living in fear. He was living in trepidation. But he also went for his soul because he knew he needed to encounter God. You see, there are times where your life is in turmoil. There's times where your life is living one of anxious thoughts. It might be a time of stress. It might be a time where your very livelihood is being threatened. These are the times you need to go for your soul, to care for your soul. You need to go somewhere where you will encounter God. And you need to hear what God is saying to you. And so take a moment and ask yourself, where is my Horeb? Where is that place where I encounter God? Well, when Elijah arrived at Horeb, he was not in a good place. What do guys do when they're not in a good place? They go into their cave. And where's a guy's cave? For some, it's their shed. It's their place of escape, their place of respite. For others, it's more of a metaphorical cave. It's the place where someone actually withdraws within themselves and they don't want to talk to anyone. They become harder in their expressions. If you're married and you're not sure where your cave is, ask your wife. Because she will know and she can tell you. And it says that the Lord met him there. And the Lord asked him, what are you doing here, Elijah? How would you answer that if the Lord asked you that question? If you were in that place where of your spiritual withdrawal, your emotional withdrawal, and the Lord said to you, what are you doing here in this space, in this state of being? How would you answer it? Take a moment and think about that. This was Elijah's answer. He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. It was a truthful answer in some regards. He had been very zealous for the Lord. He'd done all this amazing stuff that in answering he seems to have forgotten. He says, the Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've put the prophets to death. And I'm the only one left. And I don't know for how much longer, God, because Jezebel's got a death wish out on me. In times like this, it's useful to go back. And so we're going to go back to the previous chapter, 1 Kings chapter 18. Because there we see some of the things that have been happening in Elijah's life that address these very issues. When he says that the people have rejected your covenant, well, let's go back to the previous chapter in verse 39. When all the people saw this, that was, they'd seen the fire of God come down on Mount Carmel when the prophets were being defeated. They fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Yes, the people had rejected the Lord's covenant, but they were turning back. He was there. In fact, he was part of that. And then his next complaint was that the altar of the Lord had been torn down. But he seems to have forgotten his handiwork. Because it says that he'd said to the people, come here to me. They came to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. True. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He's saying the altar's been torn down. It's true it had been, but it had just been rebuilt by him. But he'd forgotten that. And then it goes on. And he says that I'm the only one left. But he forgets that in verse 13 he'd met Obadiah. Obadiah was the palace administrator. And Obadiah said to him, haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. Isn't it interesting that we are feeling down, when we are exhausted, when we are afraid, we forget the good things? Things that we've actually been part of. Things that we may have actually been responsible for, some of these positives. You see, it's too easy to forget the positives and to dwell on the negatives. And so when God said to Elijah, what are you doing here? He could have answered truthfully. He could have said, well, Elijah put this death wish out on me and I was really tired and I got really scared and I just had to run away. That would have been honest. But rather, he responds with this very self-focused, oh, my troubles, my woes, my problems, I'm all alone, no one would understand how I'm feeling, I'm off to my cave. Ever felt like that? I know sometimes I have. When it's really tough, it's too easy to forget the positives and dwell on the negatives. And so God wants to get Elijah's attention. And so this windstorm comes through, but God is not in the wind. And there's this earthquake, but God is not in the earthquake. And then this fire comes through, but God is not in the fire. You see, God created wind, earth, and fire. God can control wind, earth, and fire. God can use these to get our attention. Isn't it interesting that in the last year we have seen 3 major catastrophes in our nation? We've seen the worst drought on record. We've seen the worst bushfires that our nation has known. And now a COVID-19 pandemic. 3 major catastrophes. I don't believe that God sent them, but I do believe he will use them. He will use them to get our attention if we're willing to listen. And this is what he did to Elijah. He said, I'm not in them, but I'm getting your attention. And so he spoke again. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah's answer was the identical answer that he'd given before. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and thought, "I've finally got through to them. They finally understand what it is that I've been trying to get them to understand. They're finally open to thinking differently." And then you realise they don't get it. If that's your experience, you can now relate to how God felt. That's how God would have felt. He had just asked Elijah exactly the same question. He'd just got Elijah's attention through the wind, the earthquake and the fire. He'd demonstrated his power. And Elijah gave the same identical self-centered response. God was saying to Elijah, "I can use these situations. I can demonstrate your power, my power. In fact, I used fire in a burning bush in this exact spot to talk to Moses. I used fire in this same spot when I gave the Ten Commandments. I used fire for you when you were confronting the prophets of Baal, but I am not always speaking through these things, but I am getting your attention. If you're willing to listen, I will speak." In the midst of times of stress, anxiety, fear and uncertainty that many people are feeling, we need to listen. For many of you who are in isolation, can I encourage you to be like the boy Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." For you who feel like you're in the wind, that the earth is moving under your feet, that there's a fire raging all around you, and you feel like saying, "I've had enough, Lord," I encourage you, go for your soul. Find God. Listen to his voice. He wants to speak to you. For those who are flat out, those who are really, really busy, listen to what God's saying. Take time to withdraw and be with God. Listen to the gentle whisper. And do what he asks of you. Don't do more. Don't do less. Keep your focus on God more than the wind, the earthquake and the fire, which will distract you otherwise. But know this, you're not alone. You see, Elijah had got to this point where he's saying, "There's only me, I'm the only one left, God." But he'd forgotten. He'd forgotten the fact that Obadiah had told him that there were at least 100 others that had already been rescued. But then God says something else to him. God says to him, "I reserve 7,000 in all of Israel." You may be feeling alone, but you're not alone. The resources that in the back of your mind you know are there are but a portion of what God has for you. God's resources are always far greater than you can know, understand or imagine. Listen to God and hear what he's telling you that he's still got for you. So then God speaks to Elijah again. And the Lord says to him, "Go back the way you came. I want you to go and anoint a new king over Aram. I want you to go and anoint a new king over Israel. I want you to anoint a successor for you." He says to him, "I'm not done with you yet. There's more that I've got in store for you yet." You see, earlier Elijah was saying, "I've had enough, Lord." And the Lord says, "Enough's enough, Elijah. I've got more for you. I want you to invest in the next generation of leaders. You've fought well. You have been zealous. You've done what I've asked you to do. But I want you to go back the way you came. I want you to go back, but now you're going to do it differently. Now you're going to be empowering the next group that need the encouragement, to need the wisdom, the experience that you have that you can share with them." For those of you who are finding you've got time on your hands, some have lost your jobs. Some are in isolation because you've been travelling or you've been in contact who's a positive for COVID-19. Or maybe your age or your health means that you have to be in isolation. this is a time for active service. Go to your soul. Don't dwell on the negatives, but remember your past times of glory with God. Find your place of encounter with God and then listen. Because at the moment, you've got time. You've got time to listen. Practice listening. Practice tuning out of all of the other things, the wind, the earthquake and the fire, and practice listening to the gentle whisper, to hear what God is saying to you. Come out of your cave and listen. Then do what God wants you to do. You know, every one of you has someone that you can invest into. When Elisha was sent to go and anoint the next generation, every one of you can be an encourager. We need the next generation to lead us well. And so if you are in isolation, I encourage you, listen to that gentle whisper. Listen to who the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, and then call them. Call them, FaceTime them, get in contact with them. Share life with them. Encourage them. Impart wisdom to them. Ask them how you can pray with them. Ask how you can pray for them. In the very next chapter, in 1 Kings 20, we see that Elijah had not heard that he was meant to go and anoint Elisha. He'd not only heard it, we now see that he's obedient to it. He went and did it. Can I encourage you that when you hear that gentle whisper, go and do what the Lord is asking you to do. Remember the old adage, it is better to give than receive. And so in doing that, I believe that you will be stepping into more of what God wants for you, that you'll be blessing and empowering another whole group of people, and that you too will be encouraged and blessed. And so as we do, let us conclude with these two questions. What did God say to me today? And maybe ask yourself, who did God encourage me about today? And then ask the question, what will I do with what I've heard? How will I step into the next thing that I'm meant to do?
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.